Welcome to Smart Amazing Conversations with Dr. Nancy, a podcast that takes a look at stories of life and leadership for smart, amazing women and men like you.
The way I can give support to the world right now is by showing up. The most important thing is don't think just that you have to bring anything. Bring yourself, show up.
If you are in a position of leadership and a position of management, bring women along with you.
Supporting women is Dr. Nancy's passion and her purpose, and talking with other women and men who promote women's leadership is one of her favorite things to do.
I've yet to meet a woman who did not know what she really wanted. She was just either afraid to ask the questions or she was afraid of what the answers meant.
Their stories connect us and help us understand that the possibilities are endless if we support each other and lift other women up.
Trust is created by persistent identity. I show up in my conversations, I build relationship, I show up as myself time and time and time again, and trust is built. It's one conversation at a time.
Maggie O'Neill is an artist, designer, entrepreneur, and activist with more than 20 years of experience supporting Washington, D.C.'s creative community through her multifaceted work. Her latest project is Vote for Your Daughter, a public art exhibit and campaign. Vote for Your Daughter is designed to inspire action and defend the rights of American women and girls by using art as a vehicle to educate American voters and bring awareness to issues that directly affect women and girls. Now here's Dr. Nancy and her guest, Maggie O'Neill.
Maggie O'Neill, love that name. Nancy O'Reilly and Maggie O'Neill are speaking today.
I really do sound like we both sound like Irish bars. We could be next to each other on the same street, you know.
We better watch our P's and Q's, lassie. We better do that. Well, okay, let's talk about you. You know, people look at someone like you. You're beautiful. You're talented. You've got everything going for you. But we all know that everybody has had a journey to get where they are. So, how did you get to be the Maggie I'm talking to today? That's the personal. I need the personal. Because women need to relate to you. Because you have an amazing story, I'm sure, about how you got to be you.
That's a really complicated question, for sure. I think that's a complicated question to anybody when you really reflect on the combo platter of life experiences that have really just keep adding, and I call it compounded interest at this point.
Let me say, Maggie O'Neill is an artist, a designer, an entrepreneur, and an activist. 20 years experience supporting city's creative community. She's the district cultural leader. Okay, how'd you get to be those things?
I've been at it for a long time, and I don't think I really knew that I was doing that. I certainly didn't set out to be that person. I just had my head down, and I'm very passionate about level of brilliance and the amount of creative power that there is in this city. And I think a lot of that inadvertently had to do with the fact that I grew up here, and I didn't understand why we weren't as equal to, if not just as powerful as a creative city, as other major capitals of other, you know, countries. And just when you go to, you know, New York or Chicago or San Francisco, they're known as cities that have great arts communities. And I just always, whether it was a chip on my shoulder about DC, or whether it was just saying, no, I really feel like this is not being represented correctly on the sort of nation stage, I've always been a proponent for the arts community in DC, but I actively work within it. It's not just that I'm an advocate. Like I'm a working artist, you know, and that makes me understand other artists a lot easier, because it is really, you are an entrepreneur just by nature of the fact that you're trying to get your product in, you know, in front of this entire community and then make a living off of it. That's what entrepreneurs do every day.
Well, you know, you look at the schools, you look at what's going on with libraries, you look at what's going away. And here we have art, just like women's history studies are going away. We have art going away in schools. We have music going away in schools. We have libraries going. What is wrong with us? Because really, where is the central part of us when art is such an uplifting spiritual experience that creates such a... it creates joy and happiness for people. You know, what I've always loved about being an artist is time flies. When you're doing something you truly love, time flies. And this is something that you truly love, but you've now found a way to take your art to a level which is so inspiring and so important to get a message across, because sometimes people won't get the message. But the way you're talking about vote for your daughter is a wonderful opportunity for people to see something and go, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
I need to learn. What is that? I need to learn more about that. So let's talk about that. So, you know, this vote your daughter. I mean, I've been to your studio. Unfortunately, you weren't there when I was there, but I really had a chance to look around your studio, to see some of your little girl models that are going to be painted. But and then I bought a picture. I bought one of your paintings. And I've got her in my home, and she's at my barn in my casita. So I see her every single day and I'm inspired by it. But let's talk about what your art is going to do for this country.
Yes. You said so many things that obviously strike a chord of the sort of the why behind this, and the direct emotion connected to the why has a lot to do with, I do have a belief, and I believe this has been sort of part of my wiring from the beginning, that we all have sort of this just inherent responsibility to one another to do what you can where you are with what you have. And you don't have to be a millionaire to help a cause or somebody in need. You don't have, there's a million ways to do this. And my job for the last 15 to 20 years that I have been selling people on is that I'm a really excellent creative problem solver. I also happen to be an artist, but I am a great creative problem solver. And I have found through hundreds of presentations over the last 20 years that people really understand storytelling when there are supportive visuals that are compelling, or when you create an environment, and this is where you translate it into design, of like really, really evocative spaces. Like, how do you want someone to feel when you walk into a space? And we would call it like the handshake to the kiss goodbye in restaurant design. Like, how do you want to greet somebody? How should they feel when they leave? What is their takeaway? What are the top three things you want someone to think of, you know, as I would talk to a chef or an operator? But when it comes to an installation of artwork, like, what is the magnitude of how you can make somebody feel? I was like, shit, what are we going to do? How are we going to break through to each other and this country if we've just lost all sight of why democracy is actually really, really important to protect? And if, when you see these things happening sequentially, if you even, you know, political science 101, you look at other countries and this history, it's like, you can't unring the bell when you start to really put cracks in this. And so the arts are like the first thing to be removed from the equation because they are so subversive, actually.
Yeah. And
it's a form of information that is truth telling.
When you take art away, it's like a blackout.
Yeah. And
it's,
you
like, the senses go flat.
It's a really good way to say that. It's like a blackout. And I had this really profound moment in the middle of putting this all together where I went to the Oslo Freedom Forum with a client who was like, I really think you need to be in this room of all these activists and dissidents truly from all over the world. And I sat at this black tie. I mean, it was very, very, very fascinating. God, I was just blown away. But mostly because the 8 or 9 people I'm sitting with have devoted their life literally and have lost their friends and their family to saving democracy or the system of democracy in their respective countries. There was a Cuban dissident that I was sitting with, Syrian, Bolivia, Iran. I mean, it was bananas to listen to the gravity of the situation. And I thought, how lucky am I that I can put together a project and not fear that my mom and dad, something would happen to them. You know, like, we still have the ability to move the needle in this country. So while we can, we must, you know? And yeah, it just was underscored that, like, this is something I really need to do. So I really believe that at its core, the exhibit of 51 statues that look fundamentally different from one another in shape and size and variety of the way they actually come together, and they're not this repetition, I think will be visually compelling. I think it will stop people in its tracks. I think there will be a moment of like, I get it. I get that the information about what's going on for women and girls' rights in Alabama is not the same for Michigan, is not the same for Idaho, is not the same for Virginia. And like, I think us understanding that, having a little bit of empathy for one another, because it isn't the same anymore,
They're similar. They're not alike, but they're similar. They're very unique, but they all are little girls from 51 states, from 51 artists, which basically are saying the same thing. Vote for your daughter, because we've got to start with that.
And if you can't come up with another reason to vote, you know, some people just don't want to vote. And I thought, not only from a, there's so many layers to that phrase, and it really sits with people very differently until they understand what the exhibition is really about. But for me, and very plainly, you know, I had so many conversations with people who just were like, I'm not going to vote. And I'm like,
yeah, it doesn't matter if I vote.
It doesn't matter if I vote. And the implications of that, you know, it's not happening to me. It's not happening in our country. It's not happening to my state. It's not happening in my own backyard. It's not happening in my own school district. Like, at what point do we actually really start to reconnect with each other? Otherwise, it's just going to keep getting worse. Anyways, I have full belief that art is going to be the connector in the future for us, because technology is creating more and more divisiveness.
And I've used the name Tiffany Shalane before, but this is the whole thing about artists. This is the thing is that whatever your platform is, or whatever your talent is, or your expertise is, can be used in a way to reflect an important situation, important issue in the world, which is voting, you know, getting people out to vote. This voting is going to be more important this year than ever.
Ever.
And you're right. There are people that are just saying, my vote's not going to be worth anything. It's going to be worth more than it ever has been. And of course, you know, we've been talking about the Equal Rights Amendment. You know, this is huge. People don't know what they don't know.
Correct.
And I think that's the problem with a lot of, you know, we're inundated with information, and we don't even know whether it's valid or it's truthful. And so when we get around something that really makes such a difference and a profound effect on us, like this art exhibit that you're talking about, I think it goes to a different core level. And I think that's where we've got to get with so many more people, is at that core level of caring about each other and what our outcomes are going to be, and caring about the next generation who will be carrying this world to the next level.
Yeah.
You know, we don't talk about those kinds of things anymore.
No.
We don't get down to the things that, how are we going to, you know, I mean, I haven't heard one politician talk about what they're going to do for this country. Education
and how to care. You just hit the nail on the head. It's like, you know, your first question was like, what have you done to kind of get to this point? I think this other thread, this is something that's become very clear to me in the last year and a half as I've made big pivots in my business in order to take this on and to basically give all of my time and resources to this within the next year, is the fact that we stopped learning how to care in a way that was more palpable, and we are all suffering a collective trauma in that way. And I think the more we can kind of tap into, again, it goes back to feeling. It's like, how do we create a feeling that we do care, or that it is not a partisan issue to care? It is not that the Republicans care more about the US. It is not that the Democrats care more about the US. Just like a Republican father and mother doesn't care about their daughter more than that. It's not about that. It's really just about the humanity of it and what's going to cause somebody to care. And I feel like that is a very hard thing to describe when I have to put the ethos of this down to explain to people why this is so important, but that is the catalyst, right? Of just getting people to give a shit and then feel that level of empathy.
And that we're all in this
together.
And it's going to take us all to get there. And, you know, there's an African saying is, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go all together.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we've got to do. We cannot isolate ourselves any longer. I mean, this is a crucial time in our world. Other countries are looking at us and going, what the hell is wrong with America? Where did the democracy go? Where did the care, you know, give me your, you know, the Statue of Liberty, you know, the things that were most important in this country. But voting, I remember when I was growing up, you know, being old enough to vote was a pretty cool deal. Yeah. Yeah. Couldn't driving a car vote. For sure. Getting a license.
I couldn't wait.
Going to Georgetown, but getting to vote, getting to vote was a big deal.
What an honor.
Okay. So, all right. Let's talk about what, how we're going to do this. How are we going to do this? How are we all going to work together to get this done?
Well, specifically, we are in the throes of fundraising at this moment and preparing ourselves on, when I say this side, we will be receiving the statues and we are now inviting artists to gather in Washington, D.C. to actually execute the statues. I think that getting the word out that this is something that we really want people in other states to get involved. We want artists in other states to get involved. And spreading the word about that so that we can have this be a beacon of conversation and connection and have it keep going. The goal is for this to go to all 50 states, and we believe that that can happen, but it really does need the full support and sort of breadth of connection throughout the nation. So I think collectively we're looking for people to not only support spreading the word, support how you can with any level of tax deductible donation. We have a lot of really fun merchandise that we're selling that all of that goes to support the campaign too. So there's multitudes of ways to get involved. We're looking for ambassadors in each state who would like to, again, support by either sharing information in a very grassroots capacity in their own community. And those three buckets are the things that are listed on the website: ambassadorship, sharing the message, obviously through a variety of channels like social media and so on and so forth. And then just simple donation. And $10, $50, $500 goes so far in accumulating what we need, because there are all these little, there's all these really little but wonderful line items that are needed in order to kind of to get this to go. I think the other thing that we've been doing that I love to just highlight is that there is a number of statues. I believe we have about 20 left that can be actually underwritten or sponsored by an individual or a company or a corporation. And you would be able to be in collaboration with the artist that's working on the actual statue. And there's a lot of other ways that we would bring you into the campaign if you'd like to do that. And so many people have actually sponsored a state statue. And there are some obviously benefits to that sponsorship besides just being able to be really, really, really pivotal in helping us make this project happen. And I think, you know, we've been talking to artists, it's like, there's a stipend for the artist and they're going to be part of a really incredible community that's launching this, but you're also helping to defend democracy. Like, that's part of what you're doing. So I feel like there's many ways that people can support.
Just bringing those 51 artists together to create that network and to build that network of artists, that whole central capacity, it, to me, sounds just amazing. You're going to create a whole different level of people going out there and the excitement and the joy. And well, Women Connect for Good, you need to make sure we get that information, because of course. But the most important thing that we're talking about here is for people to understand that it's going to take us all to get to the finish here by voting and putting our stamp on what we believe. You know, I mean, the time is now. There's absolutely nothing. But for you to, where did this idea come from, the vote for your daughter? Where did that come from? Where did that epiphany come from?
In full transparency, I've been painting versions of Kristen Visible's Fearless Girl. I was incredibly inspired by her work when that first came out for obvious reasons, but the juxtaposition of a little girl in a position of power or defiance, you know, and the relativity to another structure or piece of artwork just had me so fascinated. And I've been painting a lot of these. They were almost therapeutic for me, frankly, because everybody in their own career, in their own moment, in their own familial relationship. I mean, I got divorced during this particular period of time. And so this figure of this little girl was very much a a huge part of my life. And when Trump was even being considered and he was a candidate, and the stuff with, you know, grab him by the pussy, and the way in which he spoke about his daughter, and the way in which we knew that he had made massive abuses against women, and the disrespect, just the consistent malaise of someone's character and the sexism was really, really, really shocking to me. It's like watching somebody get beat up in a bar and no one does anything. And I was like, what has happened to us that this is an acceptable form? And the thing that drove me the most nuts was that people would say things like, yeah, but he's a good businessman. And at that point, I was dealing with some very, very high level good businessmen in Washington and beyond internationally on my projects. And I was like, you know what? That's just not even a fair, you can't group people in this good businessman when there are good businessmen. This guy is terrible, because now you're saying good businessmen can be complete criminals and still be good businessmen. And so
they're talking about electing someone that's committed more crimes and raped women. I mean, you know, and it's, and they're like, but he's great. Yeah,
the egregiousness of it just doesn't line up with a good businessman doesn't do those things. Therefore, it disqualifies him from this title. But there was, again, this humanity piece of it. And I guess I just kept thinking to myself, what is a good retort to these people? And I was like, do you think a good businessman would do this, this, and this if he had a daughter? And it was this like, silly rabbit. No, you would never. It would never be okay. You know, this is like very theatrical behavior. And
where has our daughter. Yeah, where has our morality gone? Where is our morality?
And I would pause the situation by saying, like, would you be cool with your daughter marrying Donald Trump? Would you be cool with your sister being with Donald Trump in a room alone and doing business with her? Just think about that for a minute. And if we don't take that level of ethics really seriously in this country, it means anybody could be your daughter. Anybody could be raped. Anybody will be pushed around. Anybody will be screwed over, because this is really an issue of humanity. He doesn't respect the humanity of women. And vote for your daughter. I just started putting on things, literally just any time I would paint it, I would start writing, you got to vote for your daughter. And it didn't really mean all the things it means to me now. It was just provocative.
Let me just read this, because I think it really does say exactly what we're talking about. It says, vote for your daughter, a public art exhibition and campaign. Vote for your daughter is designed to inspire action and defend the rights of American women and girls by using art as a vehicle to educate American voters and bring awareness to the issues directly affecting those women and girls. And again, safety, security. I mean, it's huge. I mean, you know what the second largest bill, I think it's actually the largest business in the United States is human sexual trafficking.
I know. I just learned that by Conchita.
I've worked with some organizations, and when you hear that, why isn't someone saying no more? So this campaign is so important for so many reasons. And we want to get behind it. You like said, the ERA coalition. There are many organizations that can help with this. And as we talked in our last meeting, it's about partnerships. It's about collaboration. So you can count on that. All the organizations that we're involved with, and then Women Connect for Good, will support this. So how can other people help today? I know money's a big issue, but what are some of the things that people can do today?
I think today people could just share the website, share the social media handle, and know that we're looking for people who would like to give of their time, talent, treasure. You know, I mean, there's several ways obviously to help, but the first and easiest lift is to look into who we are and what we're doing. And if you feel good about it, then to share and spread the word. The donations right now are simply the easiest way for me to say that it helps us solidify our schedule and to support the actual facilitation of the exhibit on the other side of things, which we're still raising money for right now. And I wish I had an even clearer, more specific, if you want to come into the studio and help roll.
I've been to the studio. It's wonderful. But again, you know, people want to help, but they don't know how to help, but you're just giving them, we'll just give them lots of different ways to do so. So what do you hope will happen? when this is a successful, you've got 51 statues, you've got 51 artists all over, one in every state in the United States of America. What is your dream? What is your goal?
My hope is that they travel to all 51 states. My dream is that this really moves the needle on civic discourse and action, and galvanizes people in a completely different way, connects people in a completely different way. And those are my two goals. I feel like if we can do those two things, it will be a massive success. But I think as a chaptered project, because it is quite large, I believe that we're thinking of it in that way, where releasing these on the day that Roe v. Wade was overturned is really important, both metaphorically and I think in a timeline where we want to make sure that we can get this to as many places before the election as possible. So that's really our water right now, is making sure that we can hit our timelines, our deadlines. And right now we're on target to do that. But every ounce of support makes this a more profound, louder, bolder, more layered campaign. And there's a lot of really talented, wonderful people who want to help, which is fantastic. But, you know, I'm keeping my focus there. And I believe it will go to all 50 states. I believe that it could, as you just pointed out, be something that is a sustainable conversation that really enlists many artists in many different mediums to be involved in this. And what a public art campaign can do is actually much bigger than just the statues. I mean, if you really want to hear all my ideas of this, imagine a 10-story version of all of these little girls in a projection right in front of Mount Rushmore, you know, and the tension of that, or involving this massive network of artists nationally where, in their own particular states, they are activated to create their own exhibitions and their own body work, all under this umbrella of Vote for Your Daughter. I think that's where artists could be way more powerful in the political landscape and the narrative that we all keep telling ourselves in this country. I don't know that it's going to win over social media, but I think it could compete very heavily if we are if we are all connected. So, you know, it's going to take a little while for us to all be connected, but I have a vision that that is going to end up being a huge byproduct of this outside of the exhibit.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that we need more than anything right now is hope. Mm-hmm. It's a 4-letter word, but we need hope. And something like this brings hope, because we see it, we can see it in a more pleasant, more beautiful way of what we need to do by coming together. And knowing that when we do come together, we can do anything. And we also know that you can put 5 women, I've seen it happen over again, you can put 5 women in a room and they can plan it, they can orchestrate it, they can get the budget for it and get it done in a timely fashion. And artists can do that. They can do that. But then you're going to be creating artists, designers, entrepreneurs, and activists by teaching them also the power too that they actually have always had to gain that attention and to create, as you said, moving the dial to a place that is positive for us all. You know, I mean, I've been to the Louvre. I've been to museums. Art is it influences you. Every piece that you look at makes your heart beat a little faster, makes you smile a little bit more, maybe feel a little better. So I applaud what you're doing. I think it's fantastic.
I appreciate that.
And we're going to support you any way we can. So I know we met and we'll continue to meet. So today is a podcast just to make sure that we introduce this Vote for Your Daughter. And we'll put some visuals up about the strong girls, you know. And so we'll do whatever we can. But Maggie, thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Your support and your enthusiasm and your willingness to be as much of a collaborator as you can. So thank you too.
Well, and we're standing on the shoulders of lots of people right now that we need to continue. And that's why the National Women's History Museum is so important for us to continue. Women come from a place of abundance. We don't come from a place of scarcity, but we come from a place of abundance. And when these stories are told and heard, then people will begin to understand where we're heading and heading all together. So Thank you.
Thank you.
Continued success in all ways, and best of all things to you and what you're doing. And this is not the last time we'll be talking.
I assume so. I appreciate it very much.
Okay. Have a great day. Thank you for your time.
Yep. Bye-bye. Bye.
If you enjoy these smart, amazing conversations, please subscribe, rate, and review them on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And read and enjoy more amazing stories in my books, In This Together, How Successful Women Support Each Other in Work and Life, and Leading Women, 20 Influential Women Share Their Secrets to Leadership, Business, and Life. Thank you for listening.